The history of fishing guides on the St. Lawrence River is well documented as far back as the 1800s, but probably no matter how far back you go, there was always someone along the river who would offer to serve as a guide if you wanted to find the best fishing spots. What you get with a guide can be lots more than just a rod and reel. Welcome to Home Cooking, the folk art of good food. I'm Lamar Bliss, your guide as we head out on the St. Lawrence.
There you go, Jerry.
The most obvious difference between the guides working in 1800 and Russell Finehout, working the same Thousand Islands area of the St. Lawrence Seaway, is technology. And it's not only a boat with a big engine to get to all the fishing holes faster, but on board there's sonar equipment, so that by viewing a TV screen, one can see whether or not there are any fish to catch. But knowing they are there and catching them are separate problems.
Yeah, you gotta set the hook, that's for sure.
There you go, you got one. Bring them on in there.
Oh my goodness.
Bring them on in, Art. Oh, it's a little bass.
Little tiny SS bass. Look at that. Canadian bass.
Well, at least we got one anyway. We didn't get skunked.
Well, what do you say we all go in for the shore dinner?
Okay. Sounds like a good idea.
Done with fishing for the day, the next phase of the outing goes back to a part of the guide's job that has changed very little over the years. After Russ started his guiding career 25 years ago, he bought a small island in the Clayton area to use as a base for shore dinners. The island is little more than a few large rocks with two or three trees. There's room for an outside fire pit and picnic table and a one-room cabin. Russ gets everything organized. The whole meal will be cooked over the fire, so it's lighted first. Two large pots are filled with water.
That's corn potato water. Now, does everybody want coffee? Do you want coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Should I brew coffee? Okay.
Sure.
I got good water for coffee. I'm probably the only guide in the North Country that perks coffee. All the other guides poke fun at me.
Most of them boil it?
Yeah, most of them boil it, but I like my coffee perked. I don't know. I guess I'm old-fashioned that way. I don't know. One thing you got to do, though, make sure you get all those minnows out of the water first. As they clog, you see those little holes in that strainer there? Those minnows will clog it all up, so you got to make sure you get the minnows out of the water.
The food that isn't boiled is fried, deep fried. Years ago, guides could carry pounds of salted fat back. It wouldn't spoil. This was melted down over the fire to use as a cooking oil. And as far as Russell's concerned, this is still the best way to cook fish.
All right, fire's good and hot now. You hear that old fatback sizzle there in the frying pan. That means you got a good fire under it. Oh yeah, it's coming good. Now you fry that down to get the grease to fry the fish in. When this is all fried down, you scoop out the fried up portions of fatback and serve them up as an hors d'oeuvre with an onion and tomato, and put it in a couple of slices of bread, and you swear as you are eating a bacon and tomato sandwich. It's delicious. I'll show you how to make the slice of tomato. 3-4 slices of this fatback and a slice of onion. Mighty fine eating. Help yourself. Dig in, guys. good. Delicious. Can't beat that, I'll tell you. Can't buy that at McDonald's.
No. Russ doesn't spend much time eating yet. There's still the next part of the meal to prepare, and we watch as he readies the fish.
Now I'm going to put a little light coating of breading on this fish. Yeah, it's a concoction that I invented.
Cracker crumbs?
No, it's half and half pancake mix and cornmeal.
Seasoning?
No, I get the seasoning out of the fatback grease. Don't use any seasoning. Don't really need it. Well, that batch is just about done. A little more here. Nice golden brown.
Long John Silver, eat your heart out.
Almost all the fish are ready, so a few of us head inside the cabin to set the table. This is the only building on the island, and the inside is dominated by a long table with just enough room for chairs. No mistaking the main activity on this island. The few cupboards hold plates, bowls, silverware, and coffee cans, and glasses. Salad appears from a cooler we brought up from the boat. The potatoes and corn are carried up from the fireplace, and Russ brings in the fish.
Spread the tablecloth out there, and break open the tossed salad.
Kind of register a complaint, Russell.
Yeah.
Your plates aren't big enough. You got so much good food. You need a plate
right.
About
too much food.
Two feet in diameter.
They are not big enough. Dig in, guys.
You act like you're starving there, Russ.
Yeah.
You dove into that.
Which of these is bass and which is?
That's pike right there. Flat pieces of pike.
Pike have like big flakes to them.
The curly ones are the
curly ones are the bass. Yeah,
delicious.
Oh, it's delicious.
Isn't that something?
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boy, is that good. There's not much talking. We're too busy enjoying the food. The sun is low in the sky by now, and through the window we can see lights twinkling on the mainland far away, and there are passing motorboats. One by one, we sit back from the table, full.
Dessert. Thousand Island dessert. Thousand Island style French toast. Break open the eggs. Careful you don't get eggshells in it. Okay, I gotta get some milk and some sugar and put in there. You know what makes it Thousand Island style French toast? You know what? What makes it that? It's a secret recipe, which makes it Thousand Island style French toast. Go ahead, ask me what the secret recipe is.
We were
okay.
Waiting for that.
What's the secret recipe?
Yeah.
If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret.
The slices of egg-soaked bread are dropped into the oil and cooked in a matter of minutes. When they come out, they're light and crispy, and Russ fixes each slice with butter, maple syrup, and a little whiskey. Much to our surprise, there's not a hint of fish flavor. Russ doesn't know why that is, but he figures it's because the oil is so hot, nearly 500 degrees. Dessert and cleanup are accomplished, and everyone returns to the campfire as it burns lower. Soon we'll have to leave for the mainland.
How's that old saying goes? Real guide builds a big fire and stands way back, and fake guy builds small fire and stands close, or something like that. I don't know. I forget how that
good
went.
Good thing this is on radio. Didn't know what kind of guide you were.
On a small island, somewhere in the St. Lawrence Seaway, I'm Lamar Bliss.